This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Team Chief Ron Burrows, United States Navy Seabees, retired to combat tours in Iraq. And I'd like to welcome you to our second weekend in the year 2020. And we are looking to some fantastic things going on in 2020 for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center and the subsequent nonprofits that we also have through the museum program. And those programs are Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, Silver Star Veterans and Widows Programs, and Warm-A-Vet. And we just finished our Christmas for the Troops program. We're involved in all kinds of things that are taking care of our troops and our military personnel, from our youngest troops coming back from the post 9/11 Global War on Terror, the GWAT. And Global War on Terror is what we call it. It's called GWAT is our short abbreviation of it. And then also making sure that we help take care of our senior veterans and widows here in our community through Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And what a great opportunity we have had at the close of 2019 to be able to help so many veterans and their families. At Thanksgiving, we were able to feed about 45 families and veterans that were in need with Thanksgiving meals. And at Christmas time, it was a little over 55 families in our Northern California area. I mean, from Tehama County north into our Shasta and also Trinity and to Lassen counties, we had individual veterans and families that were in need of food and some clothing and support during that time frame. It can be a really difficult time for our military families and sometimes single veterans and their widows at Christmas because of the loss of loved ones. It can form depression. It can bring disparity into their lives. And so we are grateful and thankful to be a part of the solution in our Northern California area and to help support these individuals that are in need. And so those names are brought to us. We're working with the VA here in our area, and they have individuals that they work with on a regular basis that are in need, and we work with them through those programs. And so we are thankful with our programs to be able to give back to our community. One of the terms that we use is occio domio, and that is Latin for building up the house or edifying people or building people in our community. And that is part of occio domio represents our Homeward Bound Military Family Support Program and our Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program. And what a great opportunity it is for us to help make sure that those who have served our nation faithfully and those who have come back into our communities and been strong individuals in our community as veterans and citizens in our community to help say thank you to them. Once again, when I came back from Iraq, I was the Northern California Funeral Director Honors for the United States Navy out at the Igo Veterans Cemetery. And during that time frame, it really helped me with my PTSD, getting back into coming back from the war zone, dealing with the stress there and the loss of life from personnel that I served with, and then forcing me to look into the eyes of military families and to present that flag to them on one knee as we presented it for a grateful nation for that individual, that man or woman who served in our United States military, and to honor them as we presented it to the loved one, whether it was a wife, a husband, sons, daughters, children. I presented flags to kids for their father or mother who passed away. And those were some of the most difficult, taking a flag and kneeling and presenting that flag to that family member. During that time frame, working with the Team 6, the Northern California National Guard unit that was out there, a wonderful group of men and women who served this community strongly, silently. You never knew that they were there, but they were there doing a strong job, just as the Navy and the other units were out there. And we were able to present these flags to these individuals during my time frame from 2008. Actually, it was the end of 2007, September 11th of 2007, all the way to March of 2013. I had the privilege and the honor of presenting over 2,000 folded flags to military personnel and to their families who served our nation faithfully. And we had the opportunity to experience what those needs were. And so because of those needs and talking to people and the families after that loved one was passed, and what do we do with our mom? We don't know what her benefits are. What do we do with this or that? And so I was asked, because I was already working with veterans, with the Veterans Museum, to find out how, what were some of the benefits? What were some of the ways that they could help these elderly men and women who were left behind, and if there were any benefits left for them? And so we started the Silver Star Veterans and Widows Program to work with the Veterans Service Office and other organizations in our community to be able to help support those senior veterans, especially those that were left after their loved one, their veteran, had passed away. And so at Northern California Veterans Museum, through the Heritage Center portion, Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, the Heritage Center portion covers all of these other nonprofit organizations that we have under that umbrella. So that covers the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. It covers the Silver Star Veterans and Widows. It covers our Warm a Vet program, our Christmas for the Troops. And we just shipped out 450 boxes right there, right before Christmas. And we just got a letter back from there in Kuwait from a transient station where men and women, their units come in. They stay for a couple of days or even a week or two. And then from there, they're deployed into Iraq, into areas where they're needed, whether it be northern or southern, whatever their duties are during that time frame. And we called it the ROC at Ali Al Salim Air Base. And it's no secret. That's a major point for our American forces coming in and out of Kuwait. And I served there and then went ahead and into Iraq, where we did convoys in Fallujah and Baghdad and Al-Takaitum and all Al-Assad, the air base that just took all those the 15 missiles. I served there. That's where our headquarters were for our Naval Mobile Construction Battalion 18. Been there, done that. And so I know all about that airfield, and I know where our facilities were and where those missiles fell all around that area. We convoyed in and out of that area multiple times from Baghdad and Fallujah. And so where these rockets were, I can close my eyes and look back in my mind's eye at the airbase where it was and where we convoyed through and where the streets were and where our base was located. And I can see in my mind's eye where those missiles had fallen and where they had done the destruction. And we want to make sure that we remember, as we've had over 5,000 military personnel deployed overseas in the last 2 weeks because of this Iranian crisis, so-called crisis that is there, we want to make sure that we remember those men and women as we move forward. Homeward Bound is going to continue to bring in items to ship packages overseas. Our goal is to continue to bring those items. We have more family members that have requested boxes to be shipped overseas. And so here at the end of February, as these individuals find their location, they finally get to their place in Iraq where they're going to be located, and we get those permanent addresses, then we can go ahead and start shipping those boxes. And if you're interested in helping support that program, whether you'd like to sponsor a package for about $20 it costs us to ship that box overseas, or if you'd like to supply us with non-perishable food items, put in those boxes to ship them, the mission continues, and we're going to continue to support our veterans. The letter we got from the chaplain there at the ROC at Ali Al Salim in Kuwait was just, he thanked us profusely for the items that we sent them, because they put them all in one area, and as the men and women come through deploying and they don't have certain items, those items that we had sent, they're using those items to supplement what they have as they deploy forward into the combat zone. And so, men and women, you are making that difference around the world. We'll be right back.
Your story begins here. Start yours today. Book your event and let Wind River Resort and Casino make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you will be amazed. 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. You win at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The Redding Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to reddingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to reddingcivic.com to learn more.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop, the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on East Side Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Have you been curious about the buzz surrounding CBD? For starters, CBD is not THC. CBD will not get you high and has no mind-altering effects. This makes CBD perfect for use during the day. What does CBD do? People are trying CBD for pain management, sleep management, anxiety, and other common issues. There are so many products out there, it could make your head spin. At Catalyst CBD, they know how confusing CBD can be and have the answers to any questions you have about different uses and applications of CBD. It really is about educating yourself. The experts at Catalyst can talk with you about the facts and the myths. They can clear up the buzz of CBD and make it crystal clear why people are trying CBD and coming back for more. Come visit the store on Victor, just north of East Cypress, and find the widest variety of CBD in the North State. Come in and find out if CBD is for you and receive a 15% discount on your entire first purchase. You've got questions? They have answers. Stop in today.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
I knew a man called him Sandy Kane. You folks even knew his name. But a hero, yes, was he. Left boy, came back a man. Still many don't understand about the reasons we are free. I can't forget the look in his eyes or the tears he cried as he said these words to me. All gave some.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Ron Burrows. I am your host this morning. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio show. If you'd like to call in this morning as we're listening and talking about military service, with the commitment that men and women have to serve this nation, this country, to going into the battlefield, and against all odds, they serve their country. They put their lives on the line. The phone number this morning is 605-4567. If you'd like to call in this morning, that's 605-4567. We're talking about our men and women who have deployed, several thousand of them at this time, who are there in the Middle East, on the Jordanian and the Syrian borders, there in Iraq, on the Turkish borders, they're in Kuwait, Saudi Arabia. They're all throughout the Middle East, our men and women serving our nation, serving you and I today. They are there so that we can be here at home. And fortunately, right now, we have a president that supports our military. I'm so grateful and thankful for that. I have served presidents who have not served our military, who have not cared about our military before. During the Clinton administration, it was a very difficult time when we were in the military. Cutbacks and morale issues and things like that, because men and women knew that we were, did not have the support. And so many left the service during that time frame. Why should we serve when our country doesn't represent us? But I didn't leave during that time frame, because my attitude was, I joined to serve. I don't care who the president is. The president's going to be in there for 4 years or 8 years. I was in for the long haul. I was serving my community. I was serving my family. I was serving for the heritage of my father, who served during World War II, and my brother, who served during Vietnam. That's why I was serving. Regardless of who the president was, I was there to serve my nation. And if everybody just said, you know what, I don't like the leader, I'm just leaving, well, where would we be? I mean, that's part of having a moral compass. That's part of having honor, courage, and commitment. That's part of being committed to the task that is set at our hand, whether we like it or not. Nobody wants to just go out and die, but nobody wants to go out and die for something they don't believe in. That's why it's so important for us to remember and to remind our men and women who wear the uniform how important it is for the service that they have. We want to remind you that this segment of our program is brought to you by Foster's Brewdog Service, locally owned and insured, giving veterans and elderly discounts, specializing in fire compliance services and fire breaks, after storm cleanup, and removal of waste left from transients. It's amazing that we have to even say that particular term. Cleaning up the waste from transients in our communities. But Foster's Brush Hog, Keith Foster, his father's a Navy veteran from Korea, Korean War veteran, so we want to say thank you to Keith and his team. If you'd like more information for them doing their services in your community for cleanup, they have tractor services, they do long brush care and things like that. Their phone number is, I'm sorry, I dropped it, yours, 440-9531. Brush Hog Service, Foster's Brush Hog Service, 440-9531. We'd like you to support the individuals who support our veterans in our community. And Keith is one of those individuals, and he will give you a discount if you're a veteran. So we obviously want to continue to support those who support our veterans in our community. I want to talk a little bit about the ethos of our men and women. And when they serve and when they come home, they continue to serve. You know, you're likely familiar with the ways that Americans give back to our veterans in our communities. But did you know that veterans are among the most active volunteers working to improve communities across our nation? Data from a 2017 Veterans Civic Health Index reported and revealed that veterans are more likely than non-veterans to volunteer with their neighbors to fix problems in their communities. Last year, veterans volunteered an average of 169 hours of their time, compared to an average of 126 hours spent by volunteering by non-veterans. And let me remind you, you're not looking at 50-50. You're not looking at apples and apples, oranges and oranges. It's apples and oranges, because only less than 1% of all military personnel serve our nation. Out of our entire population, out of 100% of our population, less than 1% serve our nation in a military role. So when you come back and you talk about individuals in our community that continue to serve after they come back off of services, that shows you that it's, once again, it's one out of 100 that serves in our community as a military veteran. And there's more individuals as military veterans serving our community than there are non-military veterans. More than 10% of veterans work with their neighbors to fix problems in their community, compared to just 8% of non-veterans. The military teaches us the value of purpose and the importance of principles. And it is so important for us to, as military personnel, that gives us a sense of belonging. That gives us a sense of being part of something greater and bigger than ourselves. I'm just going to finish this article real quick, and then we have a caller. There are tons of issues in our communities right now in our country where we should be uniting to come together with solutions. Our veterans are going to be the leaders in those communities. They're the ones to step up after the fact and make things work. Volunteering is a two-way street. And while there are many ways the veterans benefit from the work of volunteers, communities nationwide benefit greatly from the dedication and dedicated military personnel in the ongoing service of veterans and military families. Veterans are engaged when they come back. They're looking to be a part of something bigger than themselves. They're not with their military personnel that they served with anymore. So they're continuing to look for the opportunity. With Homeward Bound, one of the programs that we have, Homeward Bound continues to help veterans reconnect with both the communities and with themselves through our programs. And that's one of the reasons that I started Homeward Bound as the founder of Homeward Bound is we had military personnel coming back. We had moms and dads coming in the museum saying, my young daughter, my son, they're not engaging. They're not going back to work. They're not going back to school. They're vegetating in their rooms. We don't know what to do about it. And so Homeward Bound was a program that we started here underneath the Northern California Veterans Museum to help our younger veterans, post-9/11 veterans, to be able to take care of this. Because of whatever it was in the military that that you were, as we're talking with like a sergeant first class or a private, even your name, because of the military, we go back to our last name or our nickname. You're no longer connected with that. They called you like my name. They called you Burroughs or they called you Chief or whatever your position was. When you come home, that's no longer a part of it. You go back to a nickname or a first name. You miss that camaraderie and how that was set up. The sentiment is echoed by many other veterans who find that volunteer service gives them renewed purpose as they transition back to civilian life. All of us have the sense of wanting to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. It's part of the veterans' discussion. In addition to connecting with their community, veterans are able to connect with other veterans through volunteer services. For example, Homeward Bound works with returning vets who struggle with their mental health and finding employment and work to help raise awareness about veteran suicide. If you weren't aware, we still have an issue with veterans, 21 veterans a day, 22 veterans a day committing suicide. So we need to be able to reach out to those individuals and make sure that they know that they're supported and they're honored in our community. We're not going to allow them to fall through the cracks after they have served our nation faithfully. And so it's so important for us to continue to make sure that our veterans are engaged and interested in volunteer service. And so we encourage them to work with nonprofits and other volunteer organizations who are leveraging the hard work and ethics and tactical organization skills gained through the military service. Veterans can become service leaders in our community, and many do. We want to continue to support those veterans to come back after serving their nation and lead in our community as leaders, whether it be civic or in organizational status or in businesses. And so we're bringing this information to you to make sure that you understand how important it is for our veterans to be a positive role model in our community after serving around the world protecting our freedom. And we have a caller, Ron.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Just recently I saw another veteran wearing a hat, and it said Veterans for Trump. And I'd like to know if I could – who has those? I'd like one. So – if you know where I can get one, or maybe somebody listening in your audience knows where I can get one, I appreciate calling you or somebody and let me know how I can get one.
And, Ron, you're a veteran yourself.
Yes, sir, I am.
And what branch of service did you serve in?
I was in the Navy.
Well, thank you for your service. We appreciate your support for our nation and coming back in our community. I will put a request out for that. If anybody that's listening has heard or seen of a hat out there that says Veterans for Trump, please contact me here at the radio station. You can contact the museum office at 378-2280. That's 378-2280. This is a non-political program, but we want to make sure that if a veteran's looking for something, that we can help support them in that endeavor. So thank you for your call, Ron.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So once again, we're talking about our veterans who have served their nation and have come back and served in our communities. And we want to make sure that our listeners out there know that we have so many veterans that serve in our community that you don't know about. Our veterans come back, they do their job, they do the work that they have to do for our nation, then they come back and then they serve quietly. They kind of melt back into our society. They don't really brag about where they were or what they've done. And so it is so important for us to make sure that we honor those. We'll be right back.
It's time to glow at the Redding Rancheria Community Fund 2020 Year to Remember. Saturday, March 7th at the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. Since the inception of the fund in 2002, it has granted approximately $3.4 million to the local area. So come join us in celebrating the 71 organizations that the Redding Rancheria has been able to help with a surprise gift of $10,000. All proceeds from this event benefit the Redding Rancheria Community Fund, furthering the help the Community Fund does for our area. So come experience firsthand all the good the Community Fund does and support the tribe.
Celebrating 20 years in business, Five Star Bank is a community business bank serving small to medium-sized businesses and is a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Five Star Bank was founded in 1999 by a group of local entrepreneurs who wanted to create personalized banking services inspired by shared vision and goals. Today, Five Star Bank is among the top 5% of performing banks in the nation for banks of its size. Five Star Bank proudly serves farmers, ranchers, and growers in the agricultural community, commercial real estate developers and construction, those who lead nonprofits and churches, and entrepreneurs in emerging technology. Five Star Bank is also committed to small businesses through a robust SBA department. They understand that when it comes to business, timing is critical. Their sense of urgency and speed to serve are part of the foundation of their success. Visit fivestarbank.com and visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and there is a motivational song for our men and women who are serving. I'm sure that some of them are listening to that right now as they prepare to do the duty that they have to do. I know that when we prepared to step out on convoy missions against the Iraqi insurgents, that there was times that certain music was played in order to rev your engine and to keep you motivated and keep you moving forward and take your mind off the threat of death, the threat of the enemy attack upon the convoys as we moved out through the nights in the dark. And there are many times that it wasn't a song like that, but there were other songs that we played that were motivational, including Highway to the Danger Zone, the one we played for this program. And so a lot of time that evokes emotion. It evokes that camaraderie. It evokes people coming together. It evokes the strong personalities uniting to come together as a team to fight the enemy instead of each other. It's really easy for different attitudes in a unit to clash. Very easy, because you have strong, motivated individuals who want to accomplish a task, and sometimes those attitudes and personalities rub strong and hard against each other. And as a chief, and I had 25 men that I was in charge of as a combat team, I had to constantly reel those individuals in and bring them back to the team mentality, the team effort. One team, one fight, one goal. And so at times it was very difficult to realize, especially at the very beginning when we were training and trying to get everybody on the same page. But as we went outside the wire and we faced the enemy and IEDs and enemy fire, tracer fire coming through our convoys, and dealing with just the aspect of the enemy. I mean, our first 6 months that we were in, actually between August and Christmas of 2006, we witnessed over 300 IED explosions and detonations outside the wire. And so that's pretty tough when you're in a combat situation. We just got to the point where we stopped counting because it was horrific during that time. We were just lucky to come home every single mission and be inside the wire. It's a very difficult time. One of the things that holds a unit together is the ethics of that unit. Every branch of service has their different code that they follow and that they work with. And so we're going to talk about some core values in the Department of Defense, the core values of our military that help bring them together to help keep them focused through the toughest and darkest times. And it starts when you're training, as you're in boot camp, and from there it's formulated in your unit that you go to. And every branch of service is a little bit different, but the arrow points the same direction in all branches. And that is the positive factor of working together as a unit. And these core values help to form a moral compass. And that moral compass stays with you throughout your service and then in your civilian life after you leave. Core values are unchanging fundamental principles that guide how people in the military will conduct their everyday business or their lives. Core values do not require external justification. They are the internal structure that underlies interactions among its members and that guides the strategies that the military will employ to fulfill its missions. Ultimately, they motivate how the military works and give a shared identity to people belonging to it. Core values are leadership, their professionalism, and technical knowledge and know-how. However, the military also places particular emphasis on the special core values that everyone in uniform must live by: duty, integrity, ethics, honor, courage, and loyalty. Although these core values and statements indicate that the informed uniformed military members share a common set of core values, each services identify and is reflected in its own uniquely defined core values, which serve as a common ground for all military members. For example, Marine Corps core values form the bedrock of the Marine character. Semper Fi. The core values of the Department of Defense and the services. For the Department of Defense, the core values are duty, integrity, ethics, honor, courage, and loyalty. The Air Force, integrity first, service before self, and excellence in all we do. The Army, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, integrity, and personal courage. The Coast Guard, honor, respect, and devotion to duty. And the Navy Marine Corps team, honor, courage, and commitment. These core values provide the common ground shared by all individuals in each of the services. However, individuals also bring their personal characteristics to the organization. This interaction between the common ground and the diversity of individual characteristics determines how an organization or how the military will function. It is so important that as we continue to move forward, that you understand that the military comes together in these core values. That's what sets them aside from civilians. That brings them focus to what the duty is and what needs to be taking place during that duty. Core values, in summary, provide a strong organizational identity in the United States military. In addition to providing a shared identity, core values govern how people interact within the military and guide the actions of individuals. Both factors shape the role of diversity for mission effectiveness. While the military provides an umbrella set of core values for uniformed personnel, each service brings to the table its own identity to form its service-specific core values. And those are the different core values that I just read to you from the Air Force, the Army, the Coast Guard, the Marine Corps, and the Navy. And right now we're going to go ahead and we're going to play a song. It's a fight song. It's for our military personnel that are serving overseas right now.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. And all those things I did.
Once again, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and that fight song is for our veterans that are serving overseas right now, but it's also a continuation for our veterans that are here at home. And we want to make sure, you know, when you come back, you're not ready to stop fighting. You're still, you've got that fervor inside you. You have the fire inside of you. You still want to be a part of something that's bigger than you. You miss your buddies. You miss your camaraderie. You miss those that you served with every single day. You miss the jobs and the duty, the excitement. All of those are part of the experience of being in the United States military. And so just a thank you to those who have served at our home And remember those that are out there serving right now. And we do have an answer for you, Ron. If you're listening, we do have an answer. Jared has the answer for you.
The Veterans for Trump hats. You can find those at Walmart, but if you want to shop online, you can find them on Amazon, eBay. And also, if you go to Donald Trump's website and look for apparel there, you can also find it there.
You should have known that. I should have known that. I mean, if you go to the president's website, I'm sure he's got it right there for him. So then, I hope that answers your question, Ron. Anybody else that has an answer out there, a question about Trump Veterans for Trump hats, so that you can know where to go get those. We'll be right back.
Orchard Nutrition Center asks, what does it mean to be local?
It's the Little League baseball team. It's a smile and a wave from a neighbor you've known for years, helping out a stranger just because it's the right thing to do.
It's a lot like Orchard Nutrition Center, caring about the people and the community that you call home.
Orchard Nutrition Center, since 1982.
We're all in it together.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hello, I'm Carlene Niver, and I would like to personally thank you for your support while we celebrate over 4 years of business at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar. I'm so proud and excited to see our growth with loyal and new guests alike. Those of you who know me know that I love great food, but more importantly, I love to enjoy myself wherever I go. And that's what my dining team and I strive for when you walk into Carlene's. As the weather transitions, don't forget to book our banquet room for any of your upcoming holiday needs. We also offer outside catering for any occasion. Open 7 days a week, 4 p.m. to 9 p.m., 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Happy hour from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., located in downtown Reading on Center Street. A pinch of patience, a dash of kindness, and a spoonful of laughter make for the best dining experience. I look forward to celebrating over 4 years of business with you at Carlene's Restaurant and Bar.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We kind of lost our last song there. But, hey, you know, we've been talking about core values for our U.S. United States military. We talked about the ethos and the warrior ethos and why it's so important for our military men and women to come together on the same page and be able to train, fight together. We learned a long time ago that you train like you fight and you fight like you train, because if you don't, when you get into the battle zone and you go to fight like you were trained, if it's not right on, then you're behind the gun. You're behind the curve. And the enemy takes advantage of that. One of the things we wanted to talk about was the moral compass. concerning our core values, and not just for our military personnel, but a moral compass for people in our community. Why is it so important for us to be able to have that compass, to able to look in our lives, whether it comes from a family background, a heritage, or a military background, or a religious background? What guides us? What drives us in our community? Since the beginning of civilization, everyone from kings and philosophers to monks and scribes has pondered the concept of what it means to live a good life. How can we know what it means to be a good human? While societal circumstances and expectations continue to evolve, this timeless question remains at the center as to why we try to live a life with true moral and ethical purpose. And here's five reasons we're going to touch on. Number one, ground your identity. Number two, protect the greater good. Number three, increase self-confidence. Number four, be a good role model. And number five, foster healthy relationships. A moral compass helps provide an objective standard to help each of us define and address our ethical and moral weakness. In essence, a moral compass helps us to define what kind of behavior is right or wrong in our lives. For example, without a moral compass, it is more likely that you will make decisions without thinking through consequences of your actions. In addition, you will likely be tempted to stretch the truth when it benefits you to do so. With a moral compass, you'll find it easier to resist temptation through principle-based decision-making. In words, your choices will be based on values you hold to be true rather than on what's easiest to do in that moment. Nearly 80% of Americans believe that overall moral state of the nation, the United States, is poor or fair. According to recent Gallup poll, in addition, respondents overwhelmingly hold the opinion that Americans are becoming more selfish and dishonest. In fact, 77% of Americans believe the country's overall sense of morality is getting worse. Taking the time to research, define, and adhere to some objective standard for moral and ethical behavior can help each of us do our part to keep the situation from spiraling into further crisis. And once again, I bring this up because being in the United States military with your honor, courage, and commitment, your duty, your service, your selflessness, your sacrifice, these are items that drive your moral compass. These are items that are your true north that help you when you're in the military, when you're faced with life and death. And then when you come home and you're back here in our community and you're making daily decisions, and that's why it's so important for military personnel to support military personnel so that we can continue to strive to encourage this moral compass and these core values that were instilled into us from the very beginning of our boot camp training. If you go as far back as the teachings of Aristotle, a moral compass is simply the benchmark against which you can measure the goodness of your individual actions, your overall life. For Aristotle, the definition of good was fluid. It meant living a life that allows one to flourish as a human being and have few regrets. But obviously, with what we've been talking about today, this definition isn't the same for everyone. It's not the same for the military, for sure. A finely tuned moral compass can provide a set of core values that help guide your decisions throughout your life. Ideally, there's a balance between what is good for you and what is good for society, for our communities as a whole. Although over time, a person's moral compass may evolve as it's shaped by various religious, societal, and experimental forces, it should retain some core principle back to its original foundation, kind of like going back to the foundation of our founders of the Constitution of the United States of our nation, like seeking peace and integrity or causing no harm, for example. The most important part of having a moral compass is using that compass in a moral manner. If we develop a moral compass and then ignore its readings, it does us absolutely no good. And by reading your moral compass, we simply mean logically considering your choice in a given situation, making sure your internal ethics and values square up against the decisions you make. Are they aligned or are they in conflict? And that's a question each of us can ask every single day in our lives. Do we have a moral compass? Is that something that leads us in the decision-making that we do in our community, with our families, with our children? The question comes back to is, what do we base the decision-making process in our families or in our daily lives in our community? Or if you're a business owner, those ethics. If you're a civil leader in our community, those ethics are so important because you're set on a pedestal. You're an example in our community. And we would hope that whether you were in the military or you weren't in the military, that you have a moral compass and that you have ethics that will guide you when people vote you into office and you are held accountable to make sure that you're not doing things that are selfishly for yourself in your public office, but that you are doing things for the community and the best effort for those in the community.
And sometimes that line can vanish. Sometimes it's misdrawn. Sometimes that can be an issue that is not readily seen. And if an individual is careful, they can gently mold over that line between good and bad and make things seem one way versus the other. There are several kind of benefits to having a well-defined moral compass. Keep reading to find out how sound moral compass and a firm set of beliefs can help you define your value system by providing a foundational guide. Once again, we were talking about item one, which is your ground your identity. If you don't know what you stand for and what your ethics and beliefs are, then it's very difficult to make any moral choices at all, much less good ones. By establishing and following a set of moral values that provide both yourself and those around you the sense of consistency, you'll be less fickle or capricious when facing moral dilemmas because you can compare to the past situations. With an unwavering moral standard, you can have a sense of absolute rather than relative right or wrong. And I think that's very important for all of us as we live our lives, that we move forward, we have something to reflect upon that gives us that direction, watching that needle in our lives to see exactly where it points and then following that needle or not. You know, if you follow a compass on a map, then that shows you the way to go. Usually it's a good path, because if you go off the other direction of that needle, it could be a cliff and you might find your demise. Same way it is in our lives. Item two, protect the greater good. The greater good is protected by a commitment to moral values, such as justice, kindness, and equity. Treating others with kindness and supporting equitable opportunities for all can help create a more inclusive and empowering society. The more we strive to improve the lives of others, even when they are very different from ours, the more we are able to build a truly moral society. And the more we steer clear of knowingly causing harm to our fellow man, our fellow human beings, the same is true. Those who operate with greater good in mind continually question whether their behavior measures up to the duties and obligations to something bigger than ourselves. And that's, once again, that comes back to like veterans serving in our community who served in a cog in a greater cause than all of us, serving something that is saving the lives of not just people here in our own United States of America, but all across the world. Freedom means freedom, whether in the United States or you're across the border or whether you're on the other side of the world. Freedom means freedom. And those that don't have freedom and they can't defend themselves and don't know how to do that rely on others like the United States military to help create that freedom through the example of self-sacrifice. Item three is increased self-confidence. People who know where they stand on various moral and ethical issues typically feel a higher sense of self-worth and self-confidence. They feel empowered to act according to that little voice inside their heads that guides them toward right and steers them away from wrongs and poor decision-making. There's substantial evidence that people with strong moral compass feel a higher sense of integrity, which leads to increased feelings of contentment, focus, and grounding on purpose. Through the process of self-inquiry, self-reflection, and personal transformation, often required to effectively recognize and define one's moral compass, you gain a more intimate sense of self, which only serves to increase confidence and self-worth. Number four, be a good role model. Many people begin to think more deeply about their moral compass, personal code, or ethics the moment they begin to task as a parent. Of course, some people take heed to that and others don't. Most people want to be a good role model for their children, hoping to instill ethical and moral framework that children need to be happy individuals and productive members of our society. But you don't have to be a parent to be a role model. You can also be a coach, teacher, mentor, a faith community leader, a military retired person, someone who served in the law enforcement or fire department, people who were in leadership positions that continue to follow their moral compass and to be able to teach that and carry that on in tradition. And each of these leadership positions requires you to understand your own values and ethical stances so that you can guide and develop others. That's what mentorship is all about. And number five, foster healthy relationships. People with a strong moral compass typically have healthy relationships to enjoy closer relationships in their families and in those in their community. They are able to minimize harm and maximize positive contributions they make within the society or within their communities or their towns or their businesses. While these people may have a high sense of individualized self, they also can see themselves as part of something bigger that should be nurtured and protected. Some may even argue that the ability to put others' needs in front of your own is what provides the very essence of humanity, which leads to healthier individual relationships and stronger and a more connected society, like right here in our own community. So as we continue our program this morning, I want you to think about the moral compass, about leadership in our community. Do our politicians have a moral compass? Do they have that leadership capability? Do they bring to the table things that are important, that are self-sacrificing? And so we'll be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. The presidential candidates making their last urgent pleas as Nevada Democrats prepare to weigh in on their party's presidential nomination battle. Today's caucuses, the third contest in the 2020 primary season for Democrats, and so far has been fraught with a lot of chaos and uncertainty. The election also comes at a critical moment for the Democratic Party, as self-described Democratic Socialist Bernie Sanders is emerging now as a clear front-runner in a still crowded field. A temporary truce between the U.S. and Taliban is now in effect in Afghanistan.
Friday's announcement follows months of negotiations between the two sides. If successfully implemented, the week-long reduction in violence agreement will be followed by the signing of the peace accord aimed at ending 18 years of war.
Correspondent Keith Peters also tells us the road ahead is fraught with difficulties, especially if some Taliban elements and other groups have shown little interest in negotiations and could try to derail the peace process. Today marks exactly 40 years since perhaps the greatest upset in the history of sports, something honored last night at a rally in Las Vegas, as President Trump remembered the U.S. team's victory over the Soviet Union on Olympic ice back in 1980.
Some people say it was the single greatest moment in the history of sports. It was called the Miracle on Ice. Do you remember that?
And he called 14 members of the team onto the stage last night. Japan recorded a trade deficit for the month of January as exports declined amid worries about the spread of that new virus.
The Japanese finance ministry says the trade deficit for last month totaled $12 billion. That marked the third straight month of a trade deficit.
Yeah, we do. I've got a few things to do in the studio. I did a Tyler Childers song the other day. He wanted to record Highway 40 Blues, and he sold four nights out at the Ryman Auditorium in Nashville. He got a huge following of young people, not just young people, but, you know, all age groups. But he's a Kentucky boy like me, grew up listening to my music, and I've joined him on one of the nights there in Nashville, and so I think we're doing it's a Spotify Live thing, and so we went and recorded that the other day, so I got to work on that a little bit when I get home.
So you actually live in Nashville or Franklin or in that area?
Yeah, I live in Hendersonville. It's north of Nashville. Mm-hmm. Franklin's south.
Okay.
And I live up north. Yeah.
Okay. So when I spent time in Nashville, which the era would have been 95 to 2000, this would have been a time for me that I was exploring my musical roots, and I became friends with the bass player from the Nashville Bluegrass Band, and learned so much about Owensboro, Kentucky, and so much. And so let's talk about your Kentucky roots a little bit.
Yes, ma'am. Always good to talk about Kentucky roots.
Well, so let's go there.
Oh, no. I thought you were going to ask me a question.
No, let's talk a little bit about, okay, no, here's the question. Of course, if you're just tuning in, we're with Ricky Skaggs. We're live. We've preempted the show Battlefield Expressions because that's how important I think this really is. We could have pre-recorded this show, but it was really important. We'll run this again in the morning show and in the evening show for our morning Free Fire Radio and then on Thursday night on March 5th because we want you all to realize that what a legend we're talking about. Here we, Ricky has earned, you know, he's country music Hall of Fame inductee. He is the 2018 IBMA Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame inductee. He has won 15 Grammy Awards, 13 IBMA Awards. That's the International Bluegrass Music Association. 12 number one Billboard charted singles. I'll stop right there. We can finish those numbers that go on and on later, but man, you know, your life, your body of work, when did you first pick up your instruments?
Well, when my dad stuck a mandolin in my bed about 4 o'clock in the morning, he came home from work. He was a welder, and so he would have to go out of town sometimes, you know, to wherever the good paying jobs were. And so he was in Lima, Ohio, and found this little mandolin in a pawn shop next to the hotel that he was staying in, and brought it home to me, stuck it in my bed, and when I woke up, you know, I put my hands around the neck and just kind of started plucking the strings, and I haven't stopped since. You know, I mean, it was such a wonderful thing that he did, and so wise of him not to put a guitar in my bed.
Well, you
know,
think about it.
I was 5 years old, you know, and so he found an instrument that fit my body and fit my hands, and I love the sound of a mandolin.
Me too.
It's always been something that has touched my heart deeply, even hearing others play, not just, you know, when I play myself, but you know, just the sound of a mandolin has always drew my ear. You know, a banjo is something that draws a lot of people and makes it kind of sound bluegrass. I mean, we always kind of know the sound of the banjo being such an important sound of bluegrass, but no more important than the mandolin. You know, Mr. Monroe said bluegrass was started on a mandolin boy. You know, he was right.
Well, that's wonderful information and, you know, great tidbits to take around as we come and you give us this personal, you know, kind of testament before we come to the concert on the 8th. Again, you've got 20 country albums, 12 consecutive Grammy-nominated albums, 9 ACM awards, 9 ICM awards, 8 CMA awards. Now, let's talk about these 3 honorary doctorate degrees. Can we?
Yes, ma'am. my first one, I think, was at Hocking University in Ohio. The second one was from, I think, Berkeley in Boston, Massachusetts.
Right, Berkeley School of Music.
There is one from... let's see. The other one is, golly, let me see. Where would that be?
It'll come to you.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Well, there was an arts degree from Eastern Kentucky University, that was very, very, very nice to be honored like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm very, very thankful for all of these things. And
I know there's another one of arts, you know, a doctorate of arts degree from somewhere, and it's terrible that I can't remember.
No, that's such an honor. It really is.
So many, yeah, and it's just, I'm so blessed, and people don't realize, you know, that my heroes, many, many of my heroes, that was one of the reasons it was hard for me to just be able to accept the fact. I mean, there's nothing I could do about it, but, I mean, it was hard to accept the fact that I was going into the Country Music Hall of Fame when so many of, you know, the people that I grew up listening to and admiring and learning to play from their work, you know, learning to sing from their work, learning to write because of their great work. And they were not in the Hall of Fame. And you know, I really struggled with that for a while, and I was praying one morning. You know, I try to read my Bible and try to pray and spend time, just quiet time with my coffee and Jesus, you know, to get my day going. And
that's your song. That's your next song. My coffee, yeah, with my coffee and Jesus. There you go.
That's it. And, you know, and I really felt just this peaceful thought come to me, and I feel like it was the Spirit, but, you know, it was like you're going in there, and as you go into the Hall of Fame, you are taking the people that's not in there, you're taking them with you when you go in, because if it wasn't for all those people that I put in your path to listen to and learn from, you would not be the musician and the artist that you are today. So, you know, receive this with honor and grace, and go in with joy, because they are going in with you. And that, I just found so much peace in that. I didn't worry about it anymore. And people would ask me that question, you know, well, you know, how about the Stanley Brothers, or how about, you know, this, that, and the other one that's not in there. And I said, well, you know, this is how I feel, you know, the Stanley Brothers are going in because in my heart and in my DNA, musical DNA, they are a very, very, very strong part of the fabric of my musical DNA.
And the fabric is a perfect word, because all of those, whether it's like the dropping and the droplets of these wonderful musicians that became mentors, whether you realized at the time, they did develop your, I love your words, musical DNA. So what do you think, why do you think after all these years that bluegrass is still popular for such a long time?
Well, because it's not been so commercialized that it lost its glow, you know, that it lost its character. For all of the new sounds of bluegrass and all of the new musical additions, and, you know, different people playing it all over the U.S. and hot pockets of this music in Boston, at Berkeley, and in you know, Colorado, you know, and you know, places in Northern California, you know, and it's you know, it's just it's something that is so real and so original and so traditional that it's just, you know, it continues to keep growing and keep expounding. It's like a living book. It's like a, you know, it's like a book that lives, as every time you read it, you read something new into it, you hear something new, you read something new, and you may have read the same page before, but every time you read it, it's going to have something else to say to you. So, you know, to me, country music doesn't necessarily do that, especially new country. You know, I had a wonderful, wonderful career in country music, but I started out playing bluegrass, you know, and took, you know, the knowledge of my music to Emmy Lou. You know, I went and I joined Emmy Lou's hot band in 1978. I mean, I knew her and had recorded on her records before, you know, long before I joined the band. But she had a major opening that she needed to fill, and when Rodney Crowell left the group, she really needed someone to, you know, to plug in that hole there, you know, my bluegrass abilities to play mandolin, fiddle, guitar, banjo, and sing harmony with her and bring to her a catalog of, you know, traditional bluegrass music and mountain music and gospel music that she could, you know, adapt into her music, which if you listen to Roses in the Snow,
mm-hmm.
her CD Roses in the Snow, and also her Christmas record, A Light in the Stable. Both of those records are heavily, heavily acoustic, heavily influenced, you know, sprinkled with sounds of bluegrass, and those have been some of her longest sustaining, most popular records. You know, and I remember, and of course, she loved it. She was not coerced into doing this. I mean, she knew she had someone that could she could depend on to help her birth ideas and follow it through and see it through until it got on the tape, until it got mastered, and it got on the disc, you know, and we could actually take it on the road and do it as well. So, you know, I remember when she took Roses in the Snow to Warner Brothers to play it for them, they said, "What is this?"
Really?
She said, "This is my next record." And they said, "No, it's not." And she said, "Yes, it is. It absolutely is."
Good,
you know,
for her.
And and so she's been a great flag flyer for this music for years and years, you know, and so was Linda Ronstadt. You know, I met Emmy Lou the same night I met Linda, and we met at in Washington D.C. At a friend's house, a mutual friend's house. Linda was doing a show at the Cellar Door there in Washington.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't a very, very popular artist at the time. I mean, she had a few hits out, but that was long before Heart Like a Wheel came
right,
out, because
right.
That's what catapulted her into infamy, so to speak. And but we got to know each other, and she loved working up harmony. She loved, you know, learning the different styles of harmony that she was not used to, you know. And so me and her and Emmy Lou, we had lots of great times singing together, you know, and just working up songs, working up harmonies. And
the tones of all
yeah.
three of you, I can just imagine were, you know, you were in the hallway and the bell sounds, and it was just, you know, probably reached down to the bottom of your feet, just the beauty and the soulfulness of that, those three voices I can hear together.
Well, it's there's a YouTube video, I think. Of course, there's a record of it too, Gold Watch and Chain. I'll pawn you my gold watch and chain, love. It's an old Carter Family song that the three of us sang on. I think it's on one of Emmy's records.
Okay.
But there's also a YouTube video of I think it may have been a Johnny Cash show or something that the three of us did. That we sang that song together.
Well, we'll look that up, and if you're just, you know, tuning in and you're thinking, what is this going on? We have preempted Battlefield Expressions because we have somebody very special on the phone, and that's Mr. Ricky Skaggs, who's calling us live from North Carolina right now. He's going to be on tour. He is on tour, but he is going to be right here at the Cascade Theater March 8th. Get your tickets. It'll be selling out. Probably could already be close to selling out. And he is an amazing musician with Lifetime Achievement Awards everywhere, Country Music Hall of Fame inductee, et cetera. So I have a question for you, Mr. Skaggs, and that is there an album, is there something that you listen to when you need to just clear the cobwebs, clear the worries, before you go on stage, is there a routine that you do that you I listen to this, or maybe you do scales, or there's certain kind of a sonic thing that you do so that you clear yourself before you hit the stage?
Well, there's not a ritual that's kind of something that I've developed or anything like that. Sometimes, you know, I mean, I definitely get out, get my mandolin out and play it, and maybe play for 15 minutes or so. Sometimes I'm so rushed when I get there, I tune the mandolin and walk on stage. I mean, it's that quick. But you know, I like to listen, you know, to music sometimes. Yesterday, we were trying to hook up, you and I were trying to hook up on this interview.
Yes.
And I felt so bad that some things developed yesterday that I was not quite planning for when we, you know, set that all up. But anyway.
Well, thank you for taking a second chance. I really appreciate it because we love you and we're just honored.
Well, I'm honored as well, and thank you. But I got to tell you what I listened to yesterday. I love listening to just different kinds of music that I think is just brilliant. And I listened to Nightfly yesterday by Donald Fagen. I love that record. That's one of the best sounding records and the best produced record. The songs, Donald singing, his, you know, keyboard playing. I love that. And I am dyed in the wool bluegrass, but my mind loves to listen to Django Reinhardt and Stephan Grappelli. I love listening to the great, you know, jazz piano players.
Yes.
I listen to Yasha Heifetz. I will listen to Isaac Stern, you know, and I'll listen to classical music. But then I go back and listen to Ralph and Carter Stanley's first records, you know,
right,
when they were just kids, you know, and it makes me know where I've come from. It keeps me connected to where I'm from. But it also lets me know that, you know, like I said earlier, that their music was such a strong color in the fabric of my musical DNA, you know, that I could never repay them. And I got to work with Ralph many times. I worked with him on the road for about 2.5 years while I was still in high school. And it's like, I don't want to go back to high school. This is the university I want to go to, the Ralph Stanley University, you know, the Stanley Brothers. But I, you know, my mom was wagging that bony Free Will Baptist finger in my face.
Well, and finally, I would like to ask, have you been to Reading before?
I have. We played a show up there, an outdoor music festival that didn't quite work out very well as far as the audience. Wasn't a lot of people showed up. Alan Jackson, I know, was supposed to have been there, and he had to cancel. And I mean, but we played there. I love the church. I love Bethel there in Reading. And my daughter came out there and recorded a song as a live version of a song that she had rewritten. It was an old song called "Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." It's Johnny Cash recorded it, but hundreds of people recorded that old song. Well, Molly loved the song, but she wanted to update the lyrics to more modern, more things that people struggle with,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right.
Instead of it being, you know, go down yonder Moses or whatever, you know, the old lyrics said. Her verses are about fear and about shame, and you know, so she rewrote that song and performed it at Bethel.
Wow.
And you can go on YouTube and find Molly Skaggs singing a song there. And it's got about 6.5 million views. I mean, my
wow.
God, she's far surpassing her dad. And I love that, you know.
I'll definitely have to.
We love Reading, and
No, I'll definitely go on YouTube and listen to this. And, yeah, Bethel is growing on leaps and bounds. In fact, they have their music department has just built a downtown building here. You'll have to definitely, if you've got time, you know, take a tour, because it's just amazing the things that they're doing it in, well, not only just throughout the world, but their outreach and their music world, too. So, anyway, Molly Skaggs, and it's going to be called Ain't No Grave.
Yeah, Molly Skaggs, Ain't No Grave, yeah.
Well, we appreciate, do you have any final words? We appreciate, and we thank you to all of our listeners here in Shasta County for letting Battlefield Expressions be preempted for this very important interview with our own very mysterious Mr. Our own. Well, we'd like to think of you, your music, once you're out there, and you're the fabric. Your music is also the fabric of our lives. 15-time Grammy winner, Ricky Skaggs, I'm sure. We'll be here Sunday, March 8th at the Cascade Theater in Reading. And Ricky, do you have any final words as we wrap this up so we can get back to our other programming? It's been amazing. Thank you for calling.
Well, I appreciate you preempting this, you know, for me to for you and I to connect and to promote the show, but also just to let the fans, let the people know a little bit more about me that they may not know on stage. I don't have time to tell the stories that we got a chance to tell the last half hour, and so I appreciate you persevering with me. Like I said, some things came up yesterday that was kind of unplanned. Had to take care of Miss Sharon's car. So
I get
you got
it.
Those honeydews, you got to do them.
Oh yeah, you do.
You got to make sure. You know, a happy life is a happy wife.
It's a balancing act. It's for sure.
And once you get the happy
wife, like you said, you can go back into your studio and you can write and know that you know things are ticking away all right in that other room.
That's right. So so anyway, but I'm looking forward to coming and playing the theater there. I think it's really going to be a great show. I think there'll be a lot of folks there. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody. I always stay around after the show and sign autographs out at the I have a book. It's an autobiography called Kentucky Traveler. And so I have that. And we have, of course, a lot of CDs and T-shirts. Got a great T-shirt that I'm wearing right now. I never have worn a Skaggs shirt ever, but this Skaggs shirt says "Love people, love God."
Wow,
and it's just so wonderful.
Oh,
wait a minute, no, love God, love people. Sorry,
okay,
Lord,
well, God. You were looking at it the other way.
I'm looking upside down. Sorry about that.
Listen, it's been a privilege and a pleasure, and thank you, Ricky Skaggs. We look forward to March 8th and right here at the Cascade Theater. Thank you, and have a wonderful day on the rest of your tour. Good luck.
Okay, Linda, thank you.
All right.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Well, these Highway 40 blues, I've walked holding both my shoes, counting the days since I've been gone, and I'd love to see the lights at home. Waste of time and money too, squandered youth in search of truth, but in the end I had to lose. Lord above, I paid my dues. Got the Highway 40 blues, the highway car when I was young. Fortune lies ahead. It's what the billboard lies to say. Shattered dreams, my mind is numb. My money's gone, stick out my thumb. My eyes are filled with bitter tears. Lord, I ain't been home in years. Got the Highway 40 blues.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
The Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
8-time Grammy winner Buddy Guy is coming back to Reading's historic Cascade Theater March 5th. This legendary American blues guitarist and singer is also a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Don't miss Buddy Guy, one night only at the Cascade Theater, March 5th. Get tickets before they sell out at 530-243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
For many people, their faith, their family, and their health are the most important things in their life. Every day, the work that I do influences these things. Children go to college, couples move into their first home, people retire, businesses start, and charities are supported. All of this in part because of the work I do. I can make complicated things clearer so people understand them. I can solve problems and find solutions. People need someone to put their interests first. And for many people, I am that someone. I can lend an ear, stand with you during life's ups and downs, and provide that advice at just the right time. That's why I love my job. That's why I'm a financial advisor, Susan Eastman, with Wells Fargo Advisors in Redding, California, 243-7561. Once again, this is Susan Eastman with Wells Fargo Advisors. I'd love to be your financial advisor. Please give me a call at 243-7561.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
Torpedo in the water and it's closing fast. It's on a steady bearing and headed straight down the stack. Kicker in the tail, boys, break her back. Torpedo in the water and it's closing fast.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Navy submarine veteran Steve Morgan, who is also the current District 4. And so what a great opportunity to have you here this morning with us to talk about your service during Vietnam and talk about your service to the United States Navy. And I noticed in your bio here that you served at Treasure Island during that time frame. I served at Treasure Island during my time frame also. My father, during World War II, served at Treasure Island as a went to gunner school. And then I think you went to comm school there or served out of there. And I served Battalion 2, Naval Construction Battalion 2, out of Treasure Island.
No, what I was doing, I was waiting for a set of orders to go to a submarine there at Treasure Island. It was cold November, December.
Kind of like outside.
Yes, with the fog rolling in and the pea coat, it didn't do any good.
There was times that I pulled duty there on Treasure Island, and you could see the lights across the harbor. San Francisco was like just a jeweled city.
Yeah.
And right about 10:30, 11 o'clock, all of a sudden this bank of fog would come in, and you're standing duty out there. And all of a sudden you could not see in front of your hands. It is so thick.
That's
and
true.
And it is freezing. All of a sudden it just brings that temperature in. The lights disappear,
yeah.
And now you're kind of out there. If you don't know where you're at the time the fog rolls in, you can actually get lost.
That's an absolute trap.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, when I went there, they had bunks that were three bunks high,
right.
You know, type of thing.
Sure. And it was transient. It was a transition area.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
But it was good. But when I got my orders for the submarine, you know, it was overseas, so you had to go get your shots. And this was where they used the air guns.
Right.
And they shoot you in the arms, and by the end of the day, you couldn't even lift your arms with so many shots.
They were so tired.
Yeah. But anyway, I'd kind of like to get back. You know, I was born in Mare Island Naval Shipyard.
So my father was a supply officer.
My mom had worked at the supply depot also, and my grandmother worked there. And so the Navy blood was infused in me because every job I had until I joined the Navy was working at the shipyard somehow, either the cafeteria or selling papers or whatever it may be. And it just one of those things that, hey, opportunity comes along to join the Navy. Yeah, let's go do that because that was the year of the drafts.
Oh, okay.
And I had my draft card and everything else, and I was prepared if they called me up, okay, fine, I'll go in. But I had the chances. McKay, I think, was the chief's name, and he asked me if I'd like to join the reserves, and he gave me the, you know, increments of, you know, what it involved and that type of thing and why I should join the reserves. And I thought, well, that makes a lot of sense. And so I did. And what happened was I kept trying to take tests for the apprenticeship. And then I got my orders for active duty, passed the test for apprenticeship, and said, oops, what do I do now? So I went and they wrote me a letter, the shipyard did, and they said, when you get off active duty, give us this letter back, and we'll put you in as an apprenticeship.
Fantastic.
And that was, you know, being able to use my veteran's status to get a little better position as a electrician. But I went in the Navy. I went in as an intercommunication electrician, and that really worked out nice because when I got out of my apprenticeship at the yard, I went into the navigation shop, and that fit me right in with what I had been doing and what I continued to do.
So when you were out to sea, what were some of your duties when you were out to sea?
My main duties was I was a forward messenger, and I got to talk to the captain and this and that. Here's your information from the Radio Shack and that type of thing.
Runner.
Yeah, runner. Wake up the guys for the next watch and that type of thing. Take a look at the compass, take the readings and whatever is needed.
How old were you then?
I was 22.
22. So you weren't just 19. I mean, you had a few years of experience on you by 22.
That's correct.
I mean, you think, okay, 22 doesn't have very much experience. But when you when it's crammed down your throat and it, every day is 24 hours a day of learning,
right.
22 is an old man.
Yeah, that's true. And we were on, you know, we were on 12 hours on, 12 hours off, but it didn't make any difference. I mean, where else, where are you going to go? There's nothing much to do.
Once you're on board, you're on board.
Yeah, you go stand your watch, you get something to eat, you go hit the rack. Then you get up, you have something to eat, you go back on watch. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you can't go too many places, you know. And you know when it's nighttime because you rigged the ship for red, the boat for red.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, daytime, it's white lights.
Right.
So it's an interesting thing.
Now, so comparing your diesel boat time frame to the nuke time frame, what was some of the great big differences that you noticed besides the size difference from a nuke boat to a diesel boat?
The biggest thing, I think, is they had showers.
Oh, all right.
You could take a shower.
A hot shower.
If you were out for 60 days, you didn't have showers. We used the showers for storage of equipment or garbage or whatever it may be. So if you wanted to take a little bit of a spit bath, you got a tin cup, a washcloth, put a little water in it, and kind of went around, you know, wherever the areas you needed to go around.
Sure.
The water was for the diesel engines, for the batteries, and for cooking.
See, I think a lot of people understand the personal sacrifices, and even something like that that men and women had. Actually, it was all men at that time.
Yeah.
That made on the submarine service.
Right. But I'll tell you another story. We were out in the Gulf of Tonkin, and sallied up to a destroyer, and we decided we exchange a few people for crews. Well, our crew went over with bars of soap and towels to take a shower, and those guys came over and they go, "Wow, how can you guys stand this?" We said, "What are you talking about? Nothing wrong with the air,
right?
You know,
you guys
thing.
Are used to foul air."
Yeah, but when the guys came back, they'd go. We said, "Oh, look at you sissies! Have to go take a shower."
We would be on field exercises with the Navy Seabees for 3 weeks at a time without showers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you could stand yourself when you haven't taken a shower for 3 weeks.
That's
but
correct.
But as soon as you don't take a shower and everybody else has, or vice versa,
yeah.
Boy, you smell like butt, and there is no getting around it. No matter how much you wash, unless you were able to completely have a hot shower and wash all the sweat and salt and everything else off, it really does make a difference. You know, one of the things I liken to your submarine service is when you're out and you're silent, you're running silent and deep. It was like when we were running convoys at night in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
We would leave Fallujah and we would drive for 135 miles at a time, upwards of 100 semi-trucks.
Yeah.
And we would, at times, we would be completely isolated away from everybody else. I mean, there was no military support from anybody for 10, 15, 25 miles, or sometimes for 100 miles, depending upon the area that we were traveling at night.
Mm-hmm.
And being in charge and not having any radio communication, it was like being in a large submarine because you were responsible. I was responsible for everything going on.
Correct.
And I had to make those life and death decisions no matter what
because
we could not get communication from anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was like being isolated out there with your men, with your cargo, with what had to be done in your mission. And it's the same with you when you're out there running quiet and you're on a mission. I mean, you were there until you were given orders to go otherwise.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. And the only limit we had was the food. And you can only pack so much food. I mean, everybody had at least one case of food in their bunk.
Those are sea rations.
Well, some are sea rations. Some are just cans of food,
okay.
That type of thing. And then also the decks, they had one layer of case of whatever it may be, you know. And the fresh eggs and all the good stuff, they disappeared after the first couple of weeks. And, you know, the coffee was always going.
Right.
You never lost the coffee, you know, with a nice oil sheen on the top of it, you know.
Navy coffee.
I mean, you have a cup of that, and boy, you didn't worry about sleeping for a while.
Well, and here we're talking about the integrity of what it is. One teaspoon of motor oil or machine oil will destroy 500 gallons of fresh drinking water.
That's correct.
And so that's why it was so critical.
Yes.
That when you're talking about your potable water, your drinkable water, and making sure that those standards were kept. I mean, when you're in a submarine and you're submerged like that, your standards aren't just standards anymore. Now they become life and death.
That's correct. And the main standard here was for the batteries. You had to have pure water for the batteries. We had our Beaver stills, or 2,000 gallons a day stills. And that's it. That's all you had. And if they went down, you had a lot of trouble because you were down putting water in the batteries all the time to make sure that, because that's your lifeblood right there. That's
right.
How you propel yourself underwater. And on top, you didn't go topside too many times, you know.
Easy target.
Yeah, if you're going from, like we went from Australia up to the Philippines, okay, then we went on the surface. But once we got towards Vietnam, then it was submerged most of the time, except to come up once in a while to get a see what's going on. And that was about it.
So you had air scrubber systems on there because those batteries offset, they off-gas acid, don't they? Or didn't they at that time? Or you just breathed that.
We didn't have scrubbers. We weren't like the nukes.
Okay, so only the nukes had the scrubbers then.
Yes, that's
so
correct.
So you were breathing all of those?
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
Everything.
I mean, we're diesel fumes, cooking fumes, toilet fumes. They were supposedly going through a charcoal filter, but that charcoal filter
it
only lasted
fast.
So long.
Right.
There's a long story on that one, and that's
I'm sure that there is.
Part of your qualifications.
There's a lot of stories that just don't get translated that are part of that.
That's true. That's
and
true.
We're going to we've got a song coming up. We're going to go ahead and take that real quick, and then we'll come right back and have our break.
Okay.
Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff. Muddy up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. We're young and patriotic and devil may care. The good guys and the bad guys made a deadly pair. We shadowed each other with antennas for ears. We were just a high-tech buccaneers. We could get the booty from the Soviet bear and bring it all together with a wing and a prayer. Blind man's bluff is not a childish game. Blind man's bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind man's bluff could be a sailor's prayer. Back in 97 when the Cold War was through, pretty Sherry Sontag and Christopher Drew set out to tell the story of the fast boat nukes, intelligence collection and high-tech spooks. They wrote about the spec ops and the secret stuff, put it in a book and called it Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's Bluff is not a childish game. Blind man's bluff can bring you fame or shame. A little bluff here or a little bluff there. Blind man's bluff could be a sailor's prayer. Way back in the Cold War when the going got tough, we played a little game and called it Blind Man's Bluff. The U.S. and the Russians kept the action unseen. We played this game of chicken with our submarines. We sneak up on each other, steal the secret stuff. Muddied up the waters, called it Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's Bluff. Blind Man's. Blind Man's Bluff.
You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Redding Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
The Redding Rancheria pays state and federal taxes, transient occupancy taxes, sales taxes, and special taxes that are applicable only to our tribe. When the Rancheria relocates the casino to our I-5 property, we will generate even more local taxes. These taxes and fees help the city and county fund essential governmental services. The local community faces many challenges in the near future, and the Rancheria is committed to being a part of the solution. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has the chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
As we remember the anniversary of the North State fires, Northern Valley Catholic Social Service would like to thank you. Because of you, NVCSS has served over 26,000 people in the North State. Because of you, children have returned to school. Our communities are rebuilding. Families have a new place to call home. People are healing. Northern Valley Catholic Social Service thanks you. Together, we will continue inspiring hope and transforming lives.
This is the best of Battlefield Expressions.
See on diesel boats, they call us Bubblehead. Our blood is laced with diesel smoke for sailors to the end. Our diesels whine through the salty brine until we take her deep. Then we turn her loose on battery juice and we all go to sleep. Diesel boats forever. Hear the diving klaxons.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions and you're listening to all these wonderful songs. They're talking about diesel submarines. Our guest is Steve Morgan. He is the supervisor for District 4 here in Shasta Lake City. And we're talking about his service to our country, his service in the United States Navy. And Steve, we're down to our last few minutes here in the program. I just wanted you to talk about how your Navy service and your honor, courage, and commitment with the United States Navy has translated into your service, your civic duty to here our community here in Northern California in Shasta County.
Thank you, Senior Chief. Like I said, trust, integrity, and commitment. You know, when I go to these different meetings all the way up to Costella for a water board meeting or up to Sugarloaf, which is in Lakehead, or I go to a community system district in Mountain Gate, I use these three things because I talk to the people, they talk to me, and I tell them, you can tell me what you need to have, or if you have a problem, give me a question or something like that. I will try to answer that question as best as I can. If I can't, I'll tell you I can't. And these people trust me because they believe in my word. A handshake, like in the old days, you didn't need a contract. Your handshake and your word were bonds. Bonds that a lot of people don't have today.
Well, integrity.
Integrity.
One of the things that veterans bring in all aspects is integrity. We have that at a greater aspect that's taught to us than anything else besides courage and commitment. But integrity is so important.
It is. It is, Rob. And, you know, I found that out as when I got out that the submarine service taught me those three things. And I've carried those through my whole life. And when I go to talk to people, I tell them, listen, I'm here for you. That's my job, is to be here with you, to listen to you, to listen to your phone calls, to answer your phone calls, whatever it's needed to be, to be up and where you're at, to tell you that, hey, I'm interested in you, I'm interested in your area, and that type of thing. And, you know, I think that's so important today that people so much depend on the good old cell phone and emails and that type of thing.
Well, but sometimes even a good old boy program.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I try to stay away from that. I believe in looking somebody face-to-face, looking in their eyes, talking to them face-to-face, visiting the different businesses and talking to the people and telling them who I am. And if you have any problem, give me a call. Here's my card. And go from there. And that's how I've done it through my whole experience from day one as a supervisor. And I think that's so important. I think that's a necessary ingredient to being a supervisor. It's not only how many times you can go rah, rah, rah and get your picture in the paper and so on and so forth. It's more important to the people that you're there for them. They know that.
I agree completely.
The only reason I'm running is because, rerunning, is because the people want me to be there again. They don't want somebody else in there. They want me in there. They trust me. They've encouraged me all the way from the county line all the way down to Northeast Reading. Those are my districts.
Well, and I think that as a veteran, you bring so many other things to the table that don't have to be talked about. They're just known because if you're a veteran in good standing,
yeah,
those items are just like the integrity aspect.
Right.
It just automatically comes back.
Well, I also, as I support the veterans at the same time, you know, I try to go to the different veterans museums, dinners, whatever it may be, and support the veterans, whether it's a couple bucks in the pocket of somebody or just going in and helping out and maybe handing out goods or whatever it may be. And two of the greatest things I witnessed or was at was the opening of the IGO Veterans Cemetery. I was there for the opening ceremonies. That was
2003. With the governor, the governor.
Yeah, that was something else. And then also I went down into Dixon, and that's a federal cemetery,
yes.
Veterans Cemetery. Mm-hmm. Went down there for Veterans Day. Very impressive.
I've done Navy services there also.
That is something else. I mean, you know, and
they're rebuilding that, too. They're revamping it. It's enlarging.
Yeah, it's huge right now. I didn't realize how big something like that could be. And also is our IGO Veterans Cemetery. It's beautiful up there. And I've been up there for a few services and that type of thing. And I've also been to the new chapel. And it's heartwarming to see what's being done for the veterans today. And I'm trying to give back as much as I can to the veterans. Anything I can do while I'm a supervisor and, you know, further on.
Well, I don't think a lot of people know that you lost your house in a fire right there in Shasta Lake City a couple of years ago.
That's true.
So as people are rebuilding up there, you've already experienced what it's like to lose your home and all of your belongings. So you can directly relate to those who also have lost their homes.
Yes, absolutely. And I lost everything. I lost my original Dolphins. I lost my international date card, shellback cards, golden shellback cards, and those type of things, and different type things that were mementos through my previous service.
Your naval career.
Yeah, it was. You know, I spent 12 years in the reserves, 2 years active duty, and, that was a big loss for me. But I've taken that information that I gained and experience and knowledge and applied it while I'm a supervisor.
You're a survivor.
I'm a survivor.
You're a survivor, I guess.
That's all I can say.
Right. Just like the other folks here in our counties that have lost their homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take it on the chin. It's tough. It's hard. It's rough. But you pick yourself up, and tomorrow's another day, and you continue to be successful in the community.
You don't sit back and, oh, woo's me type of thing. You know, you never want to do that. You always want to be on a positive note. You know, go out on a positive note. Go in on, you know, what you need to do. Talk to the people. Give them encouragement. Show them that you care for them. Listen to them. That's the important things. Don't send them an email. Go up and talk to these people. They appreciate that. You can't believe how much they do. You know, they say, wow, what are you doing here? I says, well, it's my job.
You're a real person, not just a name.
That's right. I'm not, you know, some phone call or whatever. You know, unless you call me and I'll call you back and then we'll come together and talk about it and see what we can do.
So is there anything else you'd like folks to know concerning your Navy duty that you served and that you bring in here to our community? And as we get ready to the voting season comes up, that we want folks to know that, you know, you are an integral part of our community. You're a stand-up veteran that helps support and take care of those who are less fortunate. Mm-hmm. And you have personally suffered loss through the fire, just like so many in our community have
done.
That's
correct.
And you continue to lead. You continue to set the example, and you continue to encourage people through this process of rebuilding Shasta Lake City and rebuilding Shasta County,
right?
So that we can become a better city, a better county, a better organization.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's important for our community to support each other in a positive manner. And before we get right to the last second, I just want to say thank you for your service. You know, veterans like yourself who went before me helped set that example. They set that heritage, that naval heritage. And even though I was a CV, which is a dirt sailor, I never served under the water or on top of the water. They flew us directly into the combat. But mm-hmm. individuals like you in our community are leaders, and I look to you for examples in my own life serving in the community.
Well, I'm looking forward to another 4 years, Rob. And I think the voters will agree with me that I can help them out in the next 4 years. We've got a lot of things on our plate that we need to get accomplished, and I've accomplished a lot in my 4 years, and I'll have a lot more to accomplish in another 4 years. So I ask for your vote.
Well, I live in Tehama County, so my vote doesn't count, but obviously the votes to those here in Shasta County and Shasta Lake City.
Right.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for your service, and thank you for serving our community.
Thank you, Senior Chief.
You're welcome.
Out of the cold winter of 1775, there rose a swirling mist.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.